Well, good morning, Redeemer. Morning. It's very good to be with you here this morning. It's a pleasure to be with you here. My wife asked me before I left, she said, just do something really subtle for the camera to let her, you know, to like wave to her. So I'm going to do something really subtle. Hey, baby. So anyway, sorry. I thought that would be fun. She's really embarrassed right now, probably. So it is a pleasure to be with you here this morning. We need to take care of a little business from last week. So if you were here last week, if you weren't here last week, it's okay. You're off the hook. But if you were here last week and you committed to praying over this past week, to pray, adding to your prayers because you created light, if you committed to doing that, I just want you to raise your hand. Okay, good. Hands down. If you forgot about that completely until about 20 seconds ago, raise your hand. Okay, that's fair. Okay, at least you're honest. Okay, a little harder question. If you committed last week, and over the week you tried as best as you could, and overall you would have to say that that was a negative experience for you, just raise your hand. That's okay, be honest. Okay, good. Same thing. If you committed last week, and you did it, and it was a positive experience for you, just raise your hand. Okay, so it was decent. I think that's a win. For me, that's a win. I'm excited because, I've talked to some people, and it was like, it was a good thing. It was just a positive thing for people. So thank you for doing that, and I hope that for many of you, it was something that ended up being very positive. I think it was positive for all of us that did it. I think it was positive. So, this morning, what I want to talk to you about is I want to challenge you to be solely surrendered to the providence of God. So I'm going to say that a lot this morning, so I want to kind of explain what I mean by that. When I say solely surrendered, what I'm saying is I'm challenging you to be exclusively devoted to something. Exclusively. Solely surrendered. And what I'm going to challenge you to be solely surrendered to is the providence of God. And when you hear the providence of God, what I'm talking about is what God is doing in your life and around your life. What God is doing in your sphere to kind of direct you in the way that he wants you to go. So I'm going to challenge you through this morning to be solely surrendered, exclusively devoted to God's providence. Now, this is different than human providence. Human providence is different. Human providence is where I'm seeing what I see, and I'm feeling what I'm feeling, and I'm thinking what I'm thinking, and those things are determining what I do. So there's a difference between the two. God's providence is what God is doing in our lives, and we're basing our decisions and how we live based upon what God is doing. And human providence is we're basing what our decisions are and what we're doing based upon what we see, based upon what we feel, and based upon what we think. Now let me give you a concrete illustration of human providence. A number of years ago, when Lisa and I first moved to Dallas, we visited Redeemer. We visited here at Redeemer. And as we went through the morning and we were here, there were a couple of things that happened that I saw that reminded me of things that I had seen in other places. And those were not things that I had a positive association with. And so I was kind of like, you know, this might not be a good place for us. And as the morning kind of went on, there were a couple of things that I just had a real uncomfortable feeling with, things that were going on. And there were some things that I was thinking should happen that didn't happen, and some things that did happen that I didn't think should happen, that I wasn't expecting. And so I kind of had just a real uncomfortable feeling. And so I thought, you know, I don't think this is the place for us. And then as I looked around, I noticed that there were a bunch of students from Dallas Theological Seminary already here, and I, being a Dallas Theological student at the time, I looked around and I said, these guys don't need my help. There's already a bunch of people here. So I just figured in my head, we don't need to be here. This isn't the place for us. And so we've left and found a different church to go to. That was human providence. Because I made a decision based upon what I saw. I made a decision upon what I felt. And I made a decision upon what I thought. And you're going to see as we go through this morning, that might not have been a very good idea. But we'll get to that in a little bit. So I want you to see right now that there's a difference between human providence, making a decision based upon what we see, what we feel, and what we think, and there's a difference between relying upon God's providence, what God is doing in us and around us. And the reason that that's so critical is this, is that as humans, we have a tendency to do a lot of things that are illogical, but in this specific instance, we have a tendency to do something that makes absolutely no sense. When we're walking along and we come up to something that looks difficult or troublesome or hard, we have a tendency to go to human providence. We have a tendency to think, okay, what do I see? What do I feel? And what do I think? And that's how we solve it. But the problem is that if you are a believer in Christ, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going along depending upon God to lead you, and all of a sudden you run into trouble, and what do? We go to our own self and say, well, this is what I think, this is what I feel, this is what I see. And so we go from the stronger providence to the weaker. And I would love to say that of the stressful last week that I've had, I completely and wholeheartedly depended upon God's providence every step of the way, but I didn't. I found myself, as I ran into obstacles, I kept finding myself depending upon my own providence. So the question that I want to answer for you this morning is, why should we depend upon God's providence? Why should we be solely surrendered to God's providence? And if you're a contrarian, let me rephrase it a little bit differently. Why should we be solely surrendered to God's providence and not dependent upon human providence? And we're going to answer that question by looking at day two of creation. So if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. And Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, give us the second day of creation. Now, that might seem like a strange place for us to go based upon what we know about the story and what I've just talked about, so let me explain why. The first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy, were written by Moses. And he was writing it to a people called the Israelites who were traveling to a place that they had never been. And this place was called the Promised Land. It was a land that God had promised them. And so they were traveling to this place. And Moses knew that they, when they got to that Promised Land, those people needed to be wholly surrendered to God's providence. And so he wrote Genesis through Deuteronomy. And he wrote in there some things that would help them. And so although our situation is a little bit different, there's something that we can learn. Because for each of us, if you are in a relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God, you are traveling to a place you've never been. You're traveling to the new heavens and the new earth. It's a place you've never been. And just like they, you need the information that's in this book about how to get ready for that place. Now, if you're here in the room this morning and you are not a believer, this message still is pretty applicable. You're headed to a place you don't know either. Tomorrow is an unknown. I mean, you might be going to school or whatever, but tomorrow's a new day. You don't know where you're headed. So even if you're an unbeliever, even if you don't have a personal relationship with God, you need what we're going to talk about here. Now, some of you, and I understand this, there might be some of you here today who are like, I'm not sure which one I am. Like, I don't know if I'm a believer or non, I don't know which I am. So let me, real briefly, I know this is going to take a moment, but I think it's critical. This is what a believer is. A believer is someone who at some point in the past in their life came to the place where they realized and acknowledged that God loves me. But then they kind of ran into a snag and they realized that there's a problem because they've done stuff wrong. They've sinned. And that sin separates them from the God that loves them. So God loves me and I know it, but I'm separated from that God because of my sin. And so what they did was they found out, they learned, somebody told them, someone preached to them, someone told them that Jesus went to the cross, died, and was raised again, and offered to them freely forgiveness for those sins. And so then what this person did was they said something to the effect of they prayed and asked God to come into their life, but they acknowledged that God loved them, their sin was the problem, and that Christ gave them a way to have an intimate relationship with God. And so that person said that prayer, and that person is now a believer. So if you can think back, if you've done something similar to that in the past, you're on good ground. You're a believer. If you've never done something like that, then you're not. It's pretty much that simple. But you already know this. The Lord is knocking on the door of your heart, and he wants you to be in a relationship with him. So, believer, unbeliever, either way, what we're going to talk about here, super important, and I think it'll be helpful. So Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, a message for all of us this morning. And we're going to see that we should solely surrender to God's providence because it is strong, it is strategic, and it is structured. First thing is, God's providence is strong. Look with me at verse 6. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heaven from the waters of the earth." This verse begins off, "Then God said." And in these days of creation, that's kind of the tag that lets us know God is creating something here. That's how he did it. And for whatever reason, he chose to do it by speaking. He didn't go to the toolbox and pull out of all of his tools and start hankering away and building something. All he did was he stepped back and he said, "Let there be," and there it was. And the reason he did that was to demonstrate, I'm God here. I am supreme. So then God said, "Let there be a space." Now, that's what God created, was a space. Now, this space is not empty. Like, when I see space, I was like, move over, there's a space there. Okay, it means that it's empty, but that's not what's here. God created a space, but what he created, there was something in it. It's going to be important when we see what happened with that space in a minute. But that space had something in it. We know what that space is now. That space is our atmosphere. It's filled with gases. People that test these kind of things say it's 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, and 1% of everything else. It was something. There was something there. He created something. Not emptiness. He created something. That becomes important as we look at the next thing that he did. It says, then he created, I keep seeing 9 and I'm thinking it's 6. Sorry. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters." So God created the space, but it's really interesting what he did here. He created the space where something else already was. He created it between the waters. So we talked about last week, in the first day of creation, there's this blob in space that's going to become the earth soon, and it's covered by water. And so then on day two, God creates this space, but it's under the water. And so what happens is when he creates it under the water that's above gets pushed up. Now that's dramatic. That's, if we were there, we weren't there. If there was somebody there to see it, it would have been amazing. Because all around this blob, it's just sitting there in the universe, and then all of a sudden, the water that was on the surface goes flying up. The only thing I can think of to help illustrate this is, we live in downtown Dallas, and in 2019, there was a microburst that hit downtown Dallas. You probably heard about it, did a lot of damage. But the thing with the microburst, what it is there's air in one pocket up above, and there's air in the pocket below, and they switch places really fast. And so I'm looking out the window of my fourth floor apartment, and there's this wind that's throwing debris all the way down our road, and then all of a sudden it goes straight up. All of these leaves, all of these sticks, all this trash goes down the road super fast, and then it goes straight up in the air. And it was just like somebody had turned on a vacuum up in the sky, and it was just sucking stuff up. It was incredible. It was just a dynamic thing that I was looking at. And that's kind of the picture, if you picture that going on over around the whole thing that God has created here. The water is flying up in the air. But it's not flying up in the air for no reason. God is trying to demonstrate that what he is doing, his providence is strong. And why that's so important for us to remember is because he knows that we are people. And we have a tendency, when we come up with something that's difficult, we have a tendency to rely on our own providence. And so God's telling us, look it, guys, my providence, my plan is strong. Don't depend on something weak. Keep depending upon something that is strong. Let me give you an illustration for that. And it helps to see why this truth makes sense. When we visited Redeemer that day, there were a couple of things that I saw that I had concern about, that I had just concerns. And they were things that I had seen in other places. And those things didn't turn out very well for the people that I knew. And so let me use a math equation here to help you see what was going on in my mind. A plus B equals C. That's kind of the way that I saw it. And so I flipped the switch in my life, and I went from being dependent upon God's providence to human providence, and I'm like, okay, if A plus B equals C, then in my visit here to Redeemer, if I see A and B, then that means what's going to happen is C. And so in my eyes, what I saw was A plus B is going to equal C, and we need to find another church. Man, there's a problem with that. Because A plus B equals C, then what does A plus B plus F, my first initial, and if F is completely surrendered to God's providence, what does that make the result? I don't know. It's not C. If A plus B plus F is not going to equal C. But here's the problem. I didn't even ask God what he thought I should do. I depended upon what I saw. And so I made a decision. And so that decision was based upon what I thought, and it wasn't taking into account the reality of the situation. So what do we do with that? How do we take the concept that God's providence is strong? How do we take that and remember that? How do we internalize that? Fun little experience here. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. Every time you hear someone say the word impossible, say, nothing is impossible for God. So if you hear the word impossible in your mind, or you hear someone else say it, I want to challenge you to say out loud, but nothing is impossible for God. It takes a little bit of practice, so here, let's practice here. I'm going to say the first word, and then you just repeat back, but nothing is impossible for God, okay? So, impossible. Okay, good. One more time, I want to make sure we get this down. Impossible. Okay. It's impossible. Okay, you guys are doing great. Wonderful. I'm glad that you got that because I wasn't sure if you would be able to keep going with that, you know, because that to me that seemed impossible. Good. Whew, man, all night I was worried that that one wasn't going to work. I was like, nobody's going to pick up on that because that would be impossible. Okay, I'm done. That was fun. That was fun for me at least. Okay, I'm done. Here's the thing. The idea is not that that statement is going to cure anything. That's not the point. The point is that when you hear that something is impossible, it's just enough to slow you down and say, hey, don't flip the switch and rely upon what you see, upon what you feel, and upon what you think. Focus on what is God doing. So it's just a way to kind of slow you down. That's all it is. Okay? It's a little fun. It's a little fun give and go, and that's all I was looking for. So not only should we solely surrender to God's providence because it's strong, but we should solely surrender to God's providence because it's strategic. Look with me at verse 7. And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. And that is what happened. It's kind of the climax of this whole day two. That's the climax. It's a literary climax. He's saying, God said it, and that is what happened. It's just demonstrating God is completely supreme in this situation. And that is what happened. What happened is this. God made the space to separate the waters of the earth. God made the space to separate. Now, on day one, God created light and then he divided it. He did something different here. On day two, he created something inside of something else, but the purpose was to separate. His whole reason and whole rationale behind doing that was to separate the waters that were below from the waters that are above. Now, that's a really cool thing to see. That would have been fun to see. That would have been exciting to see. But it's also incredibly strategic. Nobody is around right today, day two. There's nothing here that needs this. But everything that he's about to create in the coming days, they all need that. What's going to happen is as this space is created and it pushes that water up into the air, I keep saying that. It's not air yet. As it pushes it up, that's going to become clouds, and those clouds are going to produce rain, and that rain is going to come down and recycle the fresh water on the planet. The only reason that our rivers are full and that we have lakes that have fresh water in them is because it rains, and the rain is going to continually clean the water on this whole planet. And not only is it going to continually clean the water, but it's going to provide water in places that don't already have water for animals and for people and for vegetation. It's going to provide much further down the road, it's going to provide a lot of relief for those people in Texas who are battling their brutal summers. But God is thinking strategically when he does this. So he puts this space under the water, and it pushes some of the water up. And he did this to sustain life in the future. Because what God is doing here is he's being strategic. And he's demonstrating to the people that he loves, I'm doing something, but it's for your best interest in the future. Let me give you an example why that strategic is so important. When we were here visiting, from the time that we were here, the whole time, I just had a bad feeling in my gut. Something just didn't seem right. And so I just kind of had a bad feeling in my stomach, and it was nothing that anyone did that was particular, but something just feels off. And so I flipped the switch, and I went into human providence. And I said, you know what? That bad feeling probably has something to do with the fact that there's something else going on here that I can't see, and it's probably bad because I have a bad feeling, so we should keep looking for another church. And that's what we did. Because you know what? That made perfect sense to me. But as I've looked back on that a little bit, I thought, you know, Forrest, what if the Lord was tapping on your heart there and he said, hey, there's something not right here and I want you to fix it? I wasn't even paying attention. Because I already had it figured out because I was relying on human providence. And that's the danger of making decisions for all of us. That's the danger of making decisions based upon what we see, based upon what we feel, and based upon what we think, is because we're leaving God out of the equation completely. And the reason maybe that things felt uncomfortable when we were here might have been because what God was saying, I need you to do something in the future. Doesn't make sense for you right now, but there's something I'm doing with this. Because God's providence is strategic. So let me give you a way to kind of put that into place. We need to train our emotions by telling them no. We need to train our feelings by telling them no sometimes. Now, sometimes our feelings that we have, sometimes they're good. Like if I have this feeling that I should give my wife a hug, that's probably a good feeling. I probably should do that. But sometimes our feelings are bad. Like I feel like I should eat a quart of ice cream. Okay, that would be bad. Sometimes our feelings are good and sometimes they're bad. But our feelings should never be dictating how we live our life. And so we need to train our feelings by telling them no sometimes. No, you don't need to take a 10-hour nap. No, you don't need to watch TV for 20 hours. Okay? So simply train your emotions by telling them no. Because you're teaching them, hey, you guys aren't running the show here. Feelings are not the ones who's dictating where we're going from here. So God's providence is strong. God's providence is strategic. And the last thing that we're going to look at is God's providence is structured. Look with me at verse 8. God called the space sky, and evening passed, and morning came, marking the second day. And God called, here again, just like in day one and just like in the other days that we'll see, or going forward, you'll see, God called, God named the space that he had created. He named it. He gave it a name. And he's demonstrating his supremacy. He did this on day one, and he's going to do this the other days as well. He's giving it a name. And he called that space sky. My translation reads sky. Yours might read firmament. It's basically talking about the atmosphere. But God gave it a name. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the second day. Same pattern as the day before. And the same pattern you'll see in the days ahead. Because what God is doing, his providence here is structured. There's a rhythm to it. There's a pattern to it. And the reason that that is so important for us is because that's how God lets us know what he's doing. How do we know if God's providence is at work? Because what God does is structured. There's a pattern to it. It's, in a way to think of it, it's kind of like God's signature on things. And that day that we came and visited, I saw a structure But I was so busy seeing things the way that I saw it, I completely missed it. I looked around and there were several other DTS students. And I thought, they probably don't need my help. There's already a bunch of people here. That's what I was reasoning in my head. And then, because I love to preach, we talked about that last week, because I love to preach, I thought, all those other people, they all want to preach too. And there's no way I'm going to be the last one in, so I'm going to be the low man on the totem pole. I'm never going to get a chance to preach. I'll be here forever and I'll never get a chance to preach. So in my mind, I reasoned that there's no way this makes any sense at all. And so by flipping the switch and going into my thought process, I said, this is not the right place for us. But the problem is with that, if I would have seen that maybe from God's perspective, I might have been able to see that a little differently. Because there were so many DTS people, I would have had insta friends. There'd have been like 5 or 6 people here who had been instant friends for me. And better yet, because this church had already had a relationship with DTS students, they knew how to love on them and care for them. And if I had just been thinking that, I would be like, no, actually, that could be the perfect place. There's structure already here. But I wasn't looking for that structure. And because I didn't see that, I made a decision that made the most sense to me. So we've looked at this passage and we've seen God's providence is strong. God's providence is strategic, and God's providence is structured. And what I want to challenge you this morning with is I want to challenge you to be solely surrendered to God's providence and not to human providence. It's funny that as I've looked back at that visit that we had, I've really began to look at that a little bit differently. As a part of the candidating process, it's just standard operating procedure that they talk you through some of the things that have occurred in the history of the church. And I remember sitting in a couple of instances and I heard what happened and I said, I could have helped with that. I didn't say that out loud because I was candidating. I'm trying to get people to hire me, you know. So I didn't say that out loud, but in my head I was thinking, I could have actually helped with that. A couple of instances that happened were things that I've had experience with and I'm like, man, I actually could help with that. And I walk away from that situation saying, the church probably did need me. But I was too busy figuring it out myself. I was too busy relying on my own perception of what was going on to even consider it. And as I was toying that over, I was like, okay, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. That's kind of maybe, maybe not. Something happened earlier this week. My daughter came to me and she said, hey, this person, Will, he used to work at Redeemer. He just passed away. And I said, that's crazy. I didn't know anything about it. And so this past week, one of the students that I had seen in the church service that day passed away. And I already knew. I didn't even have to ask. I already knew who it was. Because when I was here that day, there was one student in particular. I remember right where he was sitting. He had a really, not angry, very upset look on his face. No idea why. Absolutely no idea why. No idea why. He had a very distraught look on his face. And to me, I thought, there's something wrong. I don't want to be here. But it was like the Lord was knocking on my heart. Say no. I don't know what that problem was that day. But if I would have been open to what the Lord was doing, I could have been here. And how would his life have been different? I won't know. Never know. And then the haunting question is, how would Redeemer have been different today had I made a different decision then? So this is a very heartfelt thing that I'm asking you. I'm urging you. Be solely dependent upon God's providence. Don't be dependent upon what you see and upon what you feel and upon what you think. Be solely dependent upon what God is doing in your life and around your life. Don't be dependent upon those things. Because the reality is, you can make that decision and things will probably be okay, but for most likely what's going to be different is for the people around you. So what I want to do here this morning is I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that challenge to be solely surrendered to God's providence. And for some of you, if you are not a believer, right now, for you to be solely surrendered to God, the most important thing for you to do is to become a believer and walk through the process of the steps that I talked about earlier. That's the most important thing. In order for you to be solely surrendered to God, you could pray something that we've termed the sinner's prayer. And it's just a prayer that you pray which acknowledges all the things that we've been talking about. But what you're doing is you're asking God to come into an intimate relationship with you. So what we're going to do in just a minute here, I'm going to have everyone bow their heads and close their eyes, and I'm going to pray a sinner's prayer. And if you want to pray that sinner's prayer here, I'm going to pray a line, and then you have an opportunity to pray that line in your head to God. And then I'll pray that line, you have an opportunity, the next line, and all the way through, and then we're done. And at the end of that time period, then, everybody else's eyes will be closed and heads will be bowed, and I'm just going to ask you to look up at me and just let me know that you prayed that prayer. There's another group in here who are people who are believers. And so with as much heartfelt passion as I can say, I'm challenging you, be wholeheartedly surrendered to God's providence. Depend upon what He is doing in and around your life. Don't be dependent upon your own. And so what I'm going to do is very similar to the sinner's prayer. I'm going to pray another prayer, but it's going to go something like this. Even if I die completely in pain, even if I die penniless, even if I die homeless, even if I die friendless, even if I die surrounded by my enemies, if that's where you want me to be, that's where I'll be. Same pattern. I'll let you pray. I'll say a line. You can say it in your head to God. So bow with me, if you will. Close your eyes and just pray. And if you're one of those people who is here this morning and you do not have an intimate relationship with God because you have never asked God to come into your life, I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer. And I just invite you to pray that prayer back to God in your head. Dear God, I know that you love me. I know that my sin separated me from you. I know that Christ paid the penalty for my sins. And I want to ask you to come into my life and be my God. If you've never prayed that prayer, but you prayed it just now, I want to ask you just to look up real quickly at me. Okay. Second prayer is the solely surrendered prayer. It goes something like this. Even if I die in complete pain, even if I die penniless, even if I die homeless, even if I die friendless, even if I die completely surrounded by my enemies, as long as I know that's where you want me to be, I commit to being solely surrendered to you. Same thing I'm going to ask you if you've prayed that prayer. Just look up at me real quick. Once we make eye contact, you can just close your eyes. Go back and close your eyes. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to be here, to be among believers who love you. I pray, Lord, that you would help each of us to follow through on the commitments that we've made here yet this morning. We do love you, and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. If you have your communion cups, I just want to invite you to take that, and you'll realize you may have picked up on the fact that the solely surrendered prayer is basically the way that Christ died. When Christ died, he was in utter physical pain. When Christ died, he was penniless. He was, friends had abandoned him. He was gone. But Jesus knew, being fully God, that he was exactly where he needed to be. And so the night before, he instituted what we call communion. And it's an opportunity for us to remember what he did for us. He died in pain. He died without his friends. He died surrounded by his enemies. But he did that to pay the penalty for my sins, for your sins, to restore us into a right relationship with God. He loved us that much. And so we're going to kind of walk through what Jesus did with his disciples. We're going to do that here this morning. But before we do, there's a couple of things I need to tell you about it. First of all, this is an act of remembering what Jesus did for us. And so if you're here this morning and you're not a believer, you weren't a believer when you walked in and you didn't pray the sinner's prayer, and if you're not a believer, then this is not for you. We're remembering something that means something to us a lot. And for you, this is not for you. We're so glad that you're here. Thank you for coming. We're so glad that you're here. But this part of the service is not for you. More importantly, if you are a believer, but you have a sin that you're holding on to that somebody has done to you, if you're upset, if you have not forgiven a brother because he has sinned against you, do not take this communion. There is a clear and present danger if you are a believer and you take communion and you have unresolved sin with a brother. If you don't believe me, I'll show it to you in the scriptures. A clear and present danger. If you are a believer and you have unresolved sin, don't take it. Drop the communion cup, say, I dropped it. I don't care. Don't take it. If you are a believer and you're in right standing with other believers, it doesn't matter where you go to church, doesn't matter where your membership, we don't care, it doesn't matter. You're welcome to take this. The first part of communion is the bread, and so open up the top part, and I'm going to go through what Jesus told his disciples. Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup. So if you flip that over and pull that open. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And Jesus closed with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
invite you to stand and sing that great hymn of faith, hymn number 21, How Great Thou Art.
I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. But before I have a real quick announcement for you, just a reminder to all members, I believe that's right, members, to all members, there'll be a meeting in the sanctuary here in 10 minutes following the service. And just a personal note, if I don't ever see y'all again, we'll see each other in the new heavens and the new earth. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You may be dismissed.